Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Beit, and we're holding at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beit, right at the second line from the bottom, Amar Leh Rav Safta Rabbah. So you might, will remember that the inyan of this perek is the relationship that we have to Minhagim in different places. When you're going from place to place, we started off, as usual in this Pesachet, utilizing the sugya of Pesachim and the dinim of Chometz and Malacha, and in this particular case of Malacha and Erev Pesach, as a model for a general vision of how the Halacha works out. So today we're going to be getting into some very important nekudas, which has to do with the Yom Tov Sheni. And that is very, very nogea. In other words, somebody who travels, let's say, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And so what's the din? I mean, does he have to keep Yom Tov Sheni? Does he only keep it if it's Befar Hesya? But if he's by himself, he's allowed to? Is this nogea everywhere in Chutz Laretz the same? Or is different places different? Is an airport the same as a city? And so on and so forth. All of this to be discussed in our sugya today, which begins with exactly the question of Yom Tov Sheni. So, Amar Leih Rav Safta Rav Abba, Kegon Ana Diadinan Bekivya Diyarch. Now, both Rav Safta and Rav Abba lived in Chutz Laretz, and at that time, they did not make such a simple binary distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Rather, the halacha was, as it ought to be, that wherever Shluchei Beis Din got there in time before Yontif, and this would mean they would get there in time during Tishrei, to tell you when Sukkot was. Now, getting there on time in Tishrei is difficult, more difficult than it is in Nisan, obviously, because you've got the interruptions of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So because of that, you have fewer days to get around. So if you're in a location where the Shluchei Beis Din get there, even for Tishrei, then that means that, in general, the whole takana of this minhag of keeping 2 days yontiv never applies in your location. So what happens is, Safra Esra Baba, so we know in our town that we always keep 1 day of yontiv because we are in a place where Shluchei Beis Din get there in time. Remember that there used to be an easy solution to this, which was the Lord of the Rings thing, where you have the fires on top of the mountains, right? However, that got messed up, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah explains, with the people that were trying to mess up Beis Din, the Tzedukim, for various reasons. They had to drop that and send actual messengers. And because of that, it didn't get around as far, of course, and as quickly. So now the question is, in a place, in the event that we like go to a different location, so what would be the din if we go to a place where the Beis Din did not get with the Shlichim? What would be the halacha? And what I say to myself is that b'yishuv lo avdinan, we shouldn't do any malacha if you're in a place where people will see you. Mipnei shinuya machloket, like we say in the Mishnah. But you don't do anything that is going to cause people to get into fights with you. How come you're doing malacha? You're not allowed to do malacha. What I want to know is, what would be the din in a midbar? So what about, when it says in a midbar, it doesn't mean that you're going to a place that's literally a wilderness. It means that you're not in the tchum of the area. That's the point. Now, there's two major points right here in this question. Tosfos brings b'yishuv lo avdinan, and he takes it for granted lo avdinan afilu b'tzina'ah. You don't do it if you're in town, even if you're in your own room, nobody's around, you do not do malacha. Afilu da'ato lachzor, even if your das is to go back to the place where you came from, Eretz Yisrael, to your town, you still have to be careful. Why is that? Because the lo efshar l'malacha b'tzina'ah kamo shar dvarim. It is really not possible to do malacha b'tzina'ah. So now, whatever that means, let's assume that it's a blanket din in any malacha. You can't do a malacha. So Tosfos would be saying is that the din of other people getting into machlokas is not meant literally. It simply meant as an overall ruling that it's not going to be possible over the long term for people not to get into machlokas. It doesn't mean that immediately at this particular moment I'm not going to get into a machlokas. Furthermore, the question of what the difference is between the Yishuv and the Midbar, being as almost all of the Mefarshim understand that to mean not literally the Midbar, but simply outside of the place where the dinim apply, and the dinim apply only where people have a right to say, look, this is our minhag hamakom. If you're going outside of town and you live 1 kilometer outside and you're in this lodge or something, over there, there is no minhag because there is no yishuv. So let's think about what that would mean in modern terms. First of all, it would mean someone traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz would not be able to do malacha under any circumstances, even if he is entirely alone. Could he travel, let's say, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, land on Yontif Sheni, and then leave the airport to go into town when it's already Mitzoy Yontif Sheni? Now that is, Nogea, very much the issue over here. In general, airports are Midbar. Why? Because they are almost inevitably built in an area where there was no Yishuv, because they don't tear down a city in order to build an airport, usually. And because of the fact that the airport itself needs to be so large, if you're talking about an international airport, it is not part of the initial tchum of the city. So the question is, in this area, there never was a minhag. So do you have to worry about the fact that the people that are in the airport, whom in fact are coming from all over the world, including other people that are arriving from places that they don't keep Yom Tov Sheni, so would you be chayev necessarily to keep Yom Tov Sheni? There are many who hold that you're not, because this is not a mokum yishuv, even though currently there are people there. The other question is, if you're in a hotel and it's Yom Tov Sheni, what does it mean not to do any malach? Does that mean you can't pick up muktzah in your hotel room? Or does it mean literally malacha? Might it mean only a malacha that makes some kind of noticeable noise or something? Let's say you're running your stereo, and everybody's going to notice. Is this a malacha that is a malacha that is mitmashechet in the Lashon of the Poskim? It's not something that you do for a second, like, you pull out a cord or something from a socket. It's something that you're doing, meaning you're cooking, or obviously on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook. So you're typing, or you're sewing, or you're knitting. So at one point or another, we assume someone's going to come in and somebody's going to be seeing you. No, we're talking now in a hotel room. So over there, you're in town. There is a minute. So that is a big machlokas. I mean, the fact is there are different shitas. The most chomer of the shitas is nothing. Lo plug rabbonan. This is Rav Kanievsky's psak. And when Tosfos says that you don't do any malacha, there's no difference between one malacha and the other. Now, obviously, to say lo plug on something that is not a takana is a little bit problematic. But that's the way that he puts it. There are some of the actual Poskim in the Shulchan Aruch, around the Shulchan Aruch Gufa, don't paskin like Tosfos, that it's talking about a malacha being ipso facto aser betzina, and they don't disagree. And they say that over here, where it's talking about, apparently even betzina, that's talking about where wasn't Daiter Lachsar. But if that, and some learn that way in the Rambam, if Daiter Lachsar, so then inachinami, the halacha is that you can do whatever you want, as long as it's betzina, and there's no difference between malacha and other issues. Again, the Mishnah Berurah paskins l'chumra not to do malacha. It doesn't get into the issues of, is it an inzi binzi malacha, or is it a big malacha? He doesn't get into. But certainly, he says, in terms of like things like muktzah and stuff like that, where over there, certainly you could rely on the das. I mean, these are major paskim. All of the early paskim that hold that it's mutter, that disagree, the rishonim that disagree with Tosfos, and say that it certainly does not mean even if Daitei Lachsar Afilu Betzina. So certainly with things like Muktzah, things where there are other heterim and the issue is only Durabbanan, you would not have to be Machmer and Kedayu Lismoch Aleihem. Then, of course, there's another issue which I raised to you yesterday, And it's difficult to find anybody that is ready to say this lahalacha, although Rav Nevin Sal mentions it, but he says, I don't have the guts. But the fact is, of course, as I pointed out yesterday, in a global village, is there such a thing as not being Mishana Mipnei HaMachlokes, where you've got 50 different Bote Knesiot in the city? Every one of them is a completely different minhag. Are we really going to get into arguments because I'm davening Nusach Sfarad and you're davening Nusach Ashkenaz? I mean, come on. Does this entire issue even apply anymore? I mean, if it did, it would be usher to have two Bate Knesiot in a city, you know, because of Lotit Godedu. So, I mean, the question of how far this goes, and everybody knows that there's going to be people that are davening Musaf of Yom Tov at the same time that other people are going to be driving in their car. And, you know, there's 50,000 people doing that, and there's 100,000 people doing the other. Is that really Mipnei HaMachloket? So, I mean, the question is whether the Mipnei HaMachloket issue is relevant. Then the other question is, there's two different points, remember, as we saw, that Mipnei HaMachloket is not the same question as Chumrei HaMokom Sheyatzei Misham. That's a din in the Adam. So over there, whether it's going to be a machloket or not is irrelevant. If you are chayev in a particular minhag because that's where you came from, so that's a different issue. You can't say everybody else is doing malacha, so why can't I do malacha as well? Fine. That, all those things we take into consideration. So he asked, what would be the din if it's in a midbar? Omar lei hachi omar avami bi yishuv asur bi midbar mutar. That the only iser of keeping into your dinim is only if you're in a yishuv. So that means that if your intent is to be daite lachzor, so then you do not have to keep it in the case that you're not in a place where other people are. There's another question, and that is, do you have to be in the midbar at the time that the halacha is chal? But if you already got into the city before you got to the airport, let's say you're a rocket man, you know, and you land in the middle of town and then you want to go take a plane from the airport, then many holds that you're not allowed to do that once the halacha was chal on you. Okay, so now here's a fascinating story. Rav Nosson Bar Asya traveled on Yom Tov. So he went Mibeirav, he went from his yeshiva, where they were Boki in the second day Yom Tov, and they didn't need to keep it. They knew, in other words, when the Kviya Deyarcha. And he traveled to Pumpadisa on the second day Yom Tov of Shavuos. And Rav Yosef actually put him into Nidui because he was Mechalel Yom Tov. So Omer Le Abaye, V'lenagde Mar Nagide, how come you put him into Nidui? Why didn't you just beat him up with giving him Malkus de Rabbona? Rabbi Yosef said, I did even worse. Adifa Avdele. I felt that because of the fact that this is such a major issue that people take Yom Tov Sheni as being so choshev, I did the worst that I could do to him. Because I'll tell you, in Eretz Yisrael, b'ma'arav ha'mimnu ha'negida, d'bar b'rav v'lo mimnu ha'shamta. In Eretz Yisrael, they would get together and they would vote to beat up a Talmud Chacham for doing an Issur D'Rabbanan, but they would not ever do such a thing to put him into Nidui. And since over here we're talking about Yom Tov Sheni, which is so Choshev, I felt we should even put him into Cherem. This is the way that Rashi understands it. I'll discuss, there's another approach in the Rush, which I'll point out. Now, the question over here is whether because of this, and this is only the das of one of the Rishonim that I know of, which is the Baal Milchamais, who says that the entire discussion in the Gemara is limited specifically to the din of Yom Tov Sheni. And that's because Yom Tov Sheni is such a universal and such a chomor issue in people's eyes. Because remember, people that grow up with Yom Tov Sheni, they don't have any real sense that it's Yom Tov Sheni. To them, there's 2 days of Yom Tov. That's the way it is. And they really think that that's not a minhag. That's like, you know, God-given. So because it's taken so seriously, that's why we're so makbid on it. And he was talking about afilu betzina and so on. But this would not be true about just stam a minhag, like the question of whether I do things on Erev Pesach or not. This is a more chomor question. And in fact, Rabbi Yosef's doing something that was so chomer to put a Talmud Chochem into Nidui is an indication that this is a very special kind of chomer. And in fact, there's another way of saying over the Maisa, and that is that others say that Rabbi Yosef actually gave him Malkus to Rabbanan. So Nagdi Rabbi Yosef, and Abaya said to him, why did you do that? You should put him into Nidui, because Rav and Shmuel both said that for people who are Mechalo Yontav Sheni, you put them into Nidui. Omar Leiser, Rav Yosef said, that's only non-Talmid HaChomi. That's Inish the Alma, but over here we're talking about a Tzurba Min Rabbanan. This guy's a yeshiva bocher who's learning Torah, and I did the better thing for him, because in Eretz Yisrael, in the event that they would have to give an onesh to Bar Bei Rav, to a yeshiva bocher, they would instead get it over with quickly, give him Malkus, and that's all. And it doesn't create such a call. Not everybody knows about it, not talking about it for 30 days. You're not allowed to give this guy an aliyah. And we don't do that kind of thing to a Talmud Chacham. It's a disgusting thing to do. The lo mimno hashamta. And we don't ever do, since Rav Nosser Mar Asya is a Bar Bei Rav, or is a Talmud Chacham Mamish perhaps even, I wouldn't want him to be in a matzav in which he was minudeh. So the Rush understands the idea of in Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't do it. Doesn't mean they wouldn't do it. It means they wouldn't be mimne. Mimne means that you gather together a bezdin and you discuss it and you come to a vote. And maybe you even have to have, according to some, you have to have a unanimous approval that we should do such a thing to a Talmud Chacham. But in the event that that's Benogea giving him Malkus, but Benogea giving him Nidui, if he's clearly Mechuyev Nidui, you're Menada. There's no such thing as getting together a Bezdin to be Menada. So you'd say he violated the covenant of a Talmud Chacham, you put him into Nidui, whatever those things are that are Mechayev Nidui that the Gemara goes through. That's what it means. It's the exact opposite in a sense of Rashi. Anyway, now the Mishnah really throws us a curveball, and this is like a devastating curveball, because it introduces so many confusing issues that it's like the worst curveball you could throw us. Kayotsebo. And it sounds like just this little issue, you know? So the Mishnah says, look, I mean, in the same way that we've got this thing about going according to the place where you are and not getting into machlokas, the same thing would be if somebody brings Perot Shvi'it from a mokum where that is already after the time of Biyur to a place where it isn't, or vice versa. It's the same halacha. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we say to him, you go and bring the same kind of thing, which didn't even make any sense. But bichlal, the issue is, does it make sense at all to compare the question of what the din of the Peros were back in the place where he was to where he is now? Because, I mean, that's making a big assumption, isn't it? That things are defined by where it is that it was taken from? Is that what it means? Is this a din in the peirot? That once the peirot are finished in the location where they were picked, so you're not allowed to use them in the location where you are, even if they're available? I mean, I don't know. Is that clear? Is the din of the peiros that they're defined not by themselves, but according to the person? Is it that if the person who's going to be eating these peiros comes from a town in which these types of peiros would be usher, he wouldn't be allowed to eat those peiros even in another town? I mean, that's certainly not true. If the person goes to a place where these peiros are available, so what, all of a sudden he's not allowed to eat them because back in his town these peiros are not available? It's really weird. And then in general, you have to understand that there's two ways of looking at the entire issue. If a person has a minag in his place, there's two reasons that we can understand why it would impact him. One is the thing that he has is mechayev him. Now let's take a look at these peiros. The peiros at the time that you left town, these peiros were aser. Okay, so then maybe you have to look at yourself as a person who comes from a town where oranges are aser, because there's no longer oranges on the tree. So I understand that doesn't mean I can't eat the oranges elsewhere. But what if the oranges become finished after you leave town? So now, does that mean that you have the din continuing since you come from that town? You have to continue to act as if you live in that town? And since the oranges that I took from that town are now not available in that town. It's because of me that I'm considered to be as if I live in that town. So it would be a dinner on me and not on the peirot? Or is it a dinner on the peirot? Is it a halacha that I am responsible to keep whatever's going on in the town? Let's consider a situation. In the town, after I left, a week after I left, they make a takana in town that our minag is going to be that we don't eat the aitra, for instance, right? So now, when I left, I was allowed to. Am I now a member of the town because I'm not in the town, but my das is lachzor to the town, so now I have to adjust my behavior according to things that happened afterwards? Or is it simply that something that was usher at that time remains usher? So if the fruit was usher when I left, it remains usher. That's also a question. All of those things go beyond the general issue of, do I have to be chashish for machlokas? Is there a halacha that I am considered to be both a member of the town in which I come and the town from which I left? These are much more complex halachas for the Mishnah to throw it out and say, and it's basically the same issue. You know perfectly well it's not the same issue. And in fact, because of that, we have this complex Gemara that's going to be raising the question, what in the world does Rabbi Yehuda's very unclear response mean? Is it Lakula? Is it Lachumra? What is happening? So now, I mean, the assumption being that he seems to be saying, well, around here, there's plenty of oranges, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying, he can tell the people that would be angry at him back at home, he could say, look, you guys can go out and bring it yourself. It's all over the place here in the trees. Or maybe in the other direction, that he could tell the people from to where he's come, if you guys want these oranges, there's plenty of these oranges back in my place. You're all welcome to go there and to eat them. But that just means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are only interested in the question of, is it a machlokas? So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, tell the people, and then they won't be upset. You can have oranges too. But is that the only issue? Isn't there the din? What happened to the din? Notnim alav chumrei makom sheyatzam misham, v'chumrei makom shehalach lasham. Now that, I mean, that's a completely different point, isn't it? You're saying you're in a place, you've come to a new place, and the oranges are not available in your new place, right? So you are saying you only have to go according to the place here because of a machlokas. But if you could explain to them that they can go ahead and go back to my town, it's only 5 miles away, and get yourself some oranges, and that would be okay. Why does that change the question of noisin alav chumri amokum? That's a halacha. It's nothing to do with machlokas. So here, for the first time, the Mishnah has made it very clear there's two completely different issues. And therefore, what we spoke about yesterday, well, there's not going to be a problem of a machlokas if you don't do malacha. Now, that is the interesting interrelationship between, is it because of machlokas? But what if it were indeed a problem not to do work? And everybody would say, he's not doing work because he's more chomer than we are. That was the question we never settled yesterday, really. We said there's not a machlokas. Okay, but what if there would be a machlokas? There, what do we do? What is more important, to do what they do here, which is a violation of what you do there, or to do what you do there, which is a violation of what you do here? Now, that, of course, is what it is that the Mishnah is now bringing up. Okay, now let's talk about the difference between the element of the machlokas that's involved and the element in the din of dosin malav chumrei hamokam. Therefore, the Gemara is now shocked. You can't tell me that the only thing I need to take into consideration, Rabbi Yehuda, is whether people are going to be upset. What happened to the halacha? Difficult to believe that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept these fundamental din that the Tanakhama brought out, which is the halacha of noisin alav. Amar of Shisha Bereder of Edi. Look, there's something missing in this Mishnah. The Tanakhama actually had said more than what appears here. Rabbi Yehuda was responding to that. And, of course, he would not say what he said in terms of the simple situation. Just because it's a machlokas, you don't have to worry. And this is what the Tanakhama had actually said. And it's a case that isn't in the Mishnah openly. Vachikama. If the Tanakhama said like this, if you go to a mokum from a place where they're not gone, they're still in the field, and then you went to a place where they were also not gone, and then you find out that back home, they are out of reach. And therefore, you also, in this case, would be chayev leva'er. So that would mean that even though there was no chumrah back at the time that you took these paras, because these paras were completely mutter, even though you're not in the town where they became usher, all of a sudden they will become usher because that's what happened back where you were. Meaning that it would be a din in the fact that you have to actually view yourself as living in that town, even though you're currently living in that other town, because your das is to go back. That's a tremendous chumrah, that you would then have to be chayev leva'er, even though the paras are available where you are, which is shocking. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, that doesn't make any sense, because he can say to the people back home, why would I have to get rid of my oranges? You can go ahead and bring oranges from where I got them, and there's no din on the orange, is there? That you're not, you have to burn it because from the place where it was, you got to get rid of it. And when I left, it was mutter, and around here, it's still available. So come take. By all means, come along and take. So therefore, I'm not doing anything different. If you guys would have come, take the same paras, and you'd be in a place where there's plenty of those paras, or you'd come to this place, you'd be able to eat it along with me. So what are you yelling at me for? Okay, that's fine. But that would imply that Rabbi Yehuda is going lekula. The problem is that Rabbi Elazar said, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe that Rabbi Yehuda was saying lechumra. So therefore, obviously, this doesn't work. Okay, fine. So flip it around. Flip it around. There's another case. The case is, as we said, you go from a place where was still there to a place where it's still there, and then you hear that it's no longer there. The Chachamim say you don't have to get rid of it. That would be the correct way to do it, which is lekula. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes and say, no, you have to get rid of it. Because the people back home will say to him, not him say to them, the people back home will say to him, okay, let's see. Can you get any more oranges from where you brought them originally? You are stuck with the dinim of the oranges where you got these oranges, and they're no longer here. Ha! So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was going lechumra, and he was saying that there is a halacha on these oranges. Now, that is very strange, because there is no such halacha on the oranges per se, lechora, that it goes according to where they came from. And there's no such halacha on the individual, which is to say that he's not allowed to eat oranges, even in the new town where he is, there's plenty of oranges. Obviously, he could buy local oranges, for God's sake. So how do you put together two things that are mutter and make them usher? That's very strange. If it's not a din in the orange, and it's not a din in the person, so this halacha that we would actually say you are as if you are living back in that place is a massive addition to the concept of Neshen Lefchum Rehamakam. You must agree. And therefore, this Kayotsebo is very definitely a curveball. And Abaye, who does not like this, and does not like to be throwing into a Mishnah case that never appears in the Mishnah. So Abaye says, no. The way that we said it originally is correct. And it's not talking about where it became usher after you left. But what the Mishnah was said was, if you go, mimakom shelo kalu, you go from a place where there's plenty of oranges, and you move your oranges to a place where there are no oranges, or vice versa, you just have to understand that the Mishnah is adding one additional point. Or you go back to your place. Now, you find yourself back at home, and there are still oranges. But you had brought these oranges with you to the place where there were no oranges. And now you went back home. The Tanakhama says, well, obviously, you don't have to get rid of them. Why would you have to get rid of them? You're in a place where they are still there. And you just brought them in for a few moments into a place where they would have been usher because of Neshen Lefchum Rehamakam. Here it's where Rabbi Yehuda is saying no, because the people that are back here, they say, oh yeah, let's see if you would be able to get any oranges in your fancy new town that you moved to because we weren't good enough for you, and there aren't any of those oranges there. So therefore, these oranges have become usser. Ha! You never should have left thinking you're better than the rest of us going to a hotel for Pesach. Nonsense. Now you're not going to be allowed to eat even homegrown oranges. Matkifla Ravashi, that is ridiculous. What is that talking about? The guy had oranges in his trunk, right? He's got oranges in the trunk of his car. He pulls in with his car to this hotel in another city where there are no oranges. He didn't even take them out of the trunk. And then he turns around after his vacation, goes back home. His oranges are still nice and fine in the trunk, takes them out of the trunk. And a mob comes along and says, don't you dare eat those oranges. You weren't allowed to eat those oranges when you went to that hotel. You're not going to be eating those oranges over here. And we're going to pelt you with those oranges. Right? That's insane. Well, I don't understand. The oranges became suddenly usher in the trunk of his car. Where did that come from? Otu, agaba de chamra kaltino. I don't understand. They're on the back of his donkey. And he never even took him off into the hotel. You're saying, well, they walked into a town where there were no oranges, therefore they become us. I mean, come off it. The Rabbi Yehuda never could have said something insane like that, that now you lose your heter because of the chutzpah going into this other. Come on. No, that's not the pshat. I'll tell you what's going on over here. There is an inference in the Mishnah that is leading us to this machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and it's the machlokas that we find that on the surface appears to have nothing to do with this. And this is the question in Shvias, where a guy is making a complex barrel of pickled goods. So Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, and then he took the pickled peppers, but he mixed them also with pickled pumpkin, and at the and at the same time, I can't think of another pea, but he threw in some tomatoes as well. Okay, so now the question is, so the pumpkins and the pickled cucumbers and the pickled tomatoes, they have different times of biur. So what's the halacha over there? So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, if they're all in the same barrel, you can eat all three of them as long as the first one, up until the time that the first one, once the first one is gone, whichever it is, and obviously you have the taste of a species that is osir in all of them. So you can't eat any of them because now the whole thing is basically osir because it's after the Zman of Biur. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, no, you can eat all of them based on the last one, which is a tremendous chiddush. And in fact, it's based on a limud from the Pasuk that we darshan over there, minasa, that means entirely. It has to be, all has to be gone from the sada. And therefore, you could eat, as long as one of them is still there, you can eat it. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, kol shekala mino minasada, yever mino minachavit. The heter is only for the taste. So let's say the first thing to go, the pumpkins are gone. So if the pumpkins are gone, actually, of course, pumpkins are always the last things to go. So, okay, the cucumbers are gone. Take out all the pickles, but leave the pumpkins in. So that much we're going to be making. But you can't actually eat, because that's just the time of it. But you can't actually eat the min itself, because what's his svara? His svara is that if you only have the taste, then the actual thing, the min that you're getting rid of, is kimivuar. Because it's not there, only its taste is there, and there's no mamashut to it. So that's not a problem. That is mevuar. You can't say a taste is after biur. The taste itself is mevuar. And halacha kedvarav, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore, what we're saying is that the Tanakhama over here is it basically says that you'd be allowed to be semech on whichever one is there, like Rabbi Yehoshua is saying. And that's the kalu, meaning that if they're all gone. So, okay, so then if that's the case, then the same thing would be true. The Ramazim is over here. That since over there, the Tanakhama over here is saying, like Rabbi Yehoshua, that since, how do we see that from the Mishnah? Mimakom shelo kalu limakom shekalu. Makom shekalu means completely. All of the minim are gone. This is an inference that the Mishnah was talking about, that they're arguing about. So he's chayev to be mevayer. But if it would only be kalu, meaning only some of them were kalu, so then you would be allowed to eat. That would be like Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, no, tseve vilacha afata. Let me see if you can find any of this min in the field. You can't, then you're not allowed to eat it. So he would be machmir, and he would aser, and he would be going like Rabbi Gamliel. Exactly. So the particular actual min you would have to get rid of. It's very much a remez just on the word of kalu, but that must be what they were arguing about. Ravina Amar. Ravina says there's another. You're right. I agree that they wouldn't be talking about this insane case that doesn't even appear. But there's another case that is merumas here, and that's a simpler machlokas. And they're actually on the two sides of the following machlokas. The Tanan, because should she really say the Tanya, it says in a brayta, ochlin bat tamarim at sheichla acharon shebetzohar, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer that actually ochlin al shal ben hakipin that ain ochlin al shal ben hashitzin. So the halacha is over there that you can eat according to the last available thing in your territory. The Mishnah splits up Eretz Yisrael into three different areas, which are called Yehuda and the Galil and Eiver HaYarden. And each one of those, this is such a wonderful concept, each one of those is considered to be a different area. It has nothing to do with the Yerusha of the Shvatim directly. It has to do with animal territory. And the din is that since the Torah makes the halacha of Shemitah dependent on the animal's availability, the animal has to be able to eat this thing, we look at the territory of an animal to determine whether an animal would be able to get this species somewhere within its territory. If it can get it within its territory, then it's considered to still be available. If not, then not. So it's not local. So just because you don't have it in your particular place doesn't mean that it's usher, as long as it's available somewhere in Yehuda. Or if you live in the Galil, as long as it's available somewhere in the Galil, and so on. And now the question over here is its availability, does it need to be dependent on its accessibility, physical accessibility? And that means that, let's say, these dates, they start falling off of the tree. Some of them get caught in the branches of the tree. Some of them get caught on those thorn-like protrusions from the actual base of the palm itself, and they get caught there. Now, an animal's not going to be able to get them out of there because he doesn't have, obviously, that kind of dexterity with his mouth. So he's not going to be able to eat those dates because they're stuck on these thorns. So the question is, do we look at the logistical accessibility or do we look at the theoretical accessibility? So fine. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, you can't eat it if they're stuck between the thorns. So that would be what the Machlokas is saying. So Ravina is saying the Tanakama of our Mishnah is going according to the Tanakama of the Braisa, because he says kolu. Kolu means it's completely gone. That means it's even gone from the Shitzim. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, boy, that's really nice. Let's see where you'll pick them from, right? You go pick them from a place where you're going to feel comfortable picking them. Go ahead. So you're saying, oh, I don't care if the animal can get his snout around it. Yeah, well, let's see you get your big mouth around it. You're not going to stick your fingers into there to get all stuck up also. And that's what Reb Yehuda was referring to, that it's inappropriate to say, since theoretically it's there, even though logistically, okay, you try to get it. And that would mean that you're chayav in biur. Now, what is this referring to? It's referring to the Mishnah in Shviyas of Shalosh Aratzot Lebiur, Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, VeGalil. Each one of these is split into three lesser territories, Shalosh Aratzot, where over there are differences in the topography. So there's climate differences and topographical differences. Things that grow on the plain, things that grow on the mountain, and things that grow in the valley. And why did they say that there's only three Aratzot for Biur? Because you're allowed to eat in any one of these territories if it's within the area that an animal will continue to go searching in its own territory for food. And because of that, even if you live in a mountain, since an animal won't hesitate to go down to the plains to find the food, as long as it's in the same general territory, you can eat achi yechla acharon sheba. And how do we know that? Omer of Chama Baruch v'Omer of Yosef Bar Chanina. That's because the Pasuk says, and this was the whole basis, remember, of the halacha. So what does it say? As long as the chaya can eat from anywhere in the sada, you can feed your behema from your stored food. Only when it's kol lechaya shebasadeh, you've got to get rid of it from your house. And we have a Kabbalah in terms of biology that animals that are chaya shebiyuda, they will not go to the Galil in order to eat. They will stick to the general territory of Yehuda, do not see themselves as in their own territory by going into the Galil, and vice versa. In Chayesh b'Galil, Gidelal Perosh b'Yehuda, they do not take nourishment from those others, and therefore the topography is not the issue, but the territory is the issue, which shows the depth of the connection that we have in terms of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael to the actual, again, biology, which we have mentioned before, the connection to topography, biology, climate, and so on. Tana Rabbana, Peirot Sheyatzu Me'eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz Bidbarim B'chol Makom Sheim. So let's say you took something out from Eretz Yisrael, and you're now with it in Chutz La'aretz, and now there's no more availability in Eretz Yisrael of these peros, so it's time for the biur. You do not have to go back to Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and get rid of it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, yachzeru lemekomam v'yidbaru. You got to go back to Eretz Yisrael because it says in the pasuk, it says be'artzecha lechayal sadeh be'artzecha. Wait a minute, but you use Ba'artzecha to say that there's a difference between Yehuda and Galil and Galil and Eivra Yardin. How can you use it to tell me that you have to do the act of Biur in that place? Well, there's two different diyukim. It could have said Ba'aretz, and it says Ba'artzecha, so that means, you know, Asher Ba'artzecha, or the extra word Asher, but there's definitely two diyukim here in the Pasuk, and one of them is to tell me the halakha, that it goes according to the animal's territory, and the other one is to tell me the halakha about where you do biur. Rav Safra left Eretz Yisrael, and he was carrying with him this barrel of wine from Shemitah, and Rav Huna Bereda, Rav Ika, and Rav Kahana were walking along with them, and all three of them were Talmidim of Rabbi Abahu, and they realized, oh my God, the time of the biur of the wine, am I going to have to go all the way back to Eretz Yisrael to do the biur? There's a big machlokas what it means to say to do the biur. Does that mean you have to destroy it? Does that mean you have to put it back to the chayot in the sadeh, which is what Rashi says, put it back, be mafkira? Does it mean you have to actually get rid of it? Tosfos understands Rashi to mean you have to put it in a mokum mirmas, which means you'd get rid of it. Others learn that, no, Rashi doesn't mean that. It just means you need to make it available to them. Halacha l'maisa, most hold like the Tosfos. Just be mafkirit, give it to the aniyim, which is what it was meant to be. So you put it out on the street. You say, anybody, achenu beis Yisrael, anybody would like to eat this stuff, please come along and take it. And if nobody takes it, you just pick it up and bring it back into your home. So the question is, does that need to be done in Eretz Yisrael, or would I be able to do it in Chutz La'aretz? So Rav Safra said, does anybody remember what our Rebbe said, what Rebbe Abo has said? Is the halacha like Rav Shimon ben Elazar or not? I mean, am I going to have to, did he say I have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Or did he say I can rely on the Tanna Kamma? So Rav Kahana said, I could tell you what Rebbe said. He said the halacha is like Shimon ben Elazar, you're going to have to go all the way back. Rav Huna Bereda Ravika said, no. This is what Rebbe said. Ain't halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you do not need to go back. Said Rav Safra, well, I'll tell you, I think we should rely on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is much more reliable. I don't trust Rav Kahana, because, you know, Nekota klolot Rav Huna biyadecha, Rav Huna is always makpet to get things straight. The Dayag v'gomesh maitzeh mipume de Rabbi, he would always ask Rebbe, could you say that again? I want to make sure I'm not getting mixed up. And he was so makpet, he was like Rechava and Pumbedisa, would be like very makpet to get things straight, because we once have this idea of Omer Rechava, Omer Rav Yehuda, the Harabayit is Stau, Kaful Haya, Stau, Lifni Mistaus, even though the original Girsa in this all over, it's Tabaot, he used the Lashon of his Rebbe. That's how Rashi explains, also the simplest way of learning it. Others say it's because he says Sufik, Bishwad Rav Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda. But in any event, I think we should rely on Rav Huna. Whew! We don't have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yosef said, sure. It's only because you think Rav Huna is more reliable. Whew. And we don't have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Let me tell you what the Pasuk says. Ami beit so yishal, umak lo yagidlo. So the Navi is talking about, oi, look at the way Klal Yisrael is, says Hoshea Navi. Their stick tells them, you know, they're suspicious, and they throw sticks to get the answers, you know, like the witch doctors. It doesn't mean their stick. It says the Makel, the person who's more Makel, that's the one that they're always going to believe. Kol HaMikalo, anybody who tells them a Kula, they figure out why they're reliable. That's what's going on over here. Yeah, doesn't believe Rav Huna. It's just, after all, Rav Huna's going to allow him to get away with murder. So everything is fine.